All right. So this is the pedagogical structure of the course. We're going to learn a whole bunch of words. We're going to learn how those words relate and integrate with each other. And then I want to turn that into action scripts. How we are going to do stuff. And there's two kinds of stuff. One captured in the essays, which is learning about things and how to express what you know about things. And then there's the homeworks and the story problems, which are knowing how to do. So we're going to learn about and we're going to learn how to do. I want to show you this as an example of the power of words. There's approximately 250,000 sleight of hand tricks out there in the magic communities, which can be brought down to 7 words. Pretty good reduction. And if you know these 7 words, now you know what to look for. So, here's a great thing by Penn and Teller. Just 7.
1. Paul, to hold an object in apparently empty hand. 2. Ditch, to secretly dispose of an unneeded object. 3. Steal, the opposite of ditch, to secretly obtain a needed object. 4. Load, to secretly move the needed object to where it's going. 5. Simulation. Give the impression that something that hasn't happened has. 6. Misdirection, to lead attention away from a secret move. And 7. Switch, to secretly exchange one object for another. Teller means nothing, but a pencil, 1 lit cigarette, and a flashlight. Let's watch that original routine again, but this time from the other side. He palms the cigarette. He simulates crushing it out. He steals the palmed lit cigarette, ditches the lit cigarette in his ear. He exhales smoke from his direct from the smoke coming out from around his hat. He steals the pencil. He simulates taking the pencil, which is simulating a cigarette, from the non-cigarette back, and puts the simulated cigarette in his mouth. He rubs his eye to Mr. Rex as he loads the burning cigarette from his ear. He simulates a lighter with a flashlight, which is the lit cigarette from the unlit pencil, and a cover of misdirection from the flashlight. Simulation. Steal. Ditch. Misdirection. Steal. Simulation. Misdirection. Load. Simulation. Switch. Misdirection. Looks simple, doesn't it?
If you know these 7 words and you start looking for things, lots and lots of magic, you'll come at least close to getting. Now, there's 2 things they don't tell you here. Where the hell did the egg come from? And where'd the crushed cigarette go? Show you where the egg came from. I think it's... Nope. Right here. That's where the egg is. pick that egg up here. He's got it in his hand. How do I know that's where it is? Watch his left hand. He catches, and the other time when he catches stuff well into his hand. Because it's safe. You don't want to drop shit on stage. But watch where he catches the silver ball now that he's already holding the egg in the bottom of his hand.
Simulation. To give the impression that something that hasn't happened.
Bingo! There's something else in that hand. Now, I can't be certain, and he's better at this than I am. But it's a distinct possibility. But I know that he has to load that from somewhere because he has it later. He loads it.
Six, misdirection to lead attention away from a secret.
That was the switch. And it's genius. Why is it genius? Because when I'm showing you a simulation, I'm not using the simulation to drive the switch. I don't switch until after the simulation. I give you something to look at, and when you stop looking at it, then I use it against you. Now, why are we doing this? Well, partly because it's fun, and I'm like that. But here's the thing. Jargon, cognitive structure, action script. Jargon, seven basic principles of magic. You got to know what they are. You got to have them memorized. It's got to be a multiple choice list in your head because experts work from a list of multiple choice options. There's really only two decision-making systems on the planet. That's a crazy thing to say, but I've spent years on this. I love this shit. There's taxonomic, and there's differential diagnosis. Taxonomic is I've got a complete list. I know what defines each thing. I can look at something and know the whole set of categories that it ain't and focus on separating what's left. Differential diagnosis, which is what physicians and their kind use to identify a diagnosis. Same sort of thing. We take a look at it. We throw away a huge number of things that it can't be. We take the ones that are left and decide how we're going to tell them apart. Because if you have this, I'm going to look for a different set of symptoms than if you have that, than if you have the other thing. All right? They're very similar, but they don't function quite the same. But they both depend on knowing the list. Did you ever watch House?
Yeah.
Right? House is like an ongoing competition of differential diagnosis. I know more shit this could be than you do. And they come out with all these bizarre things. They learned those. That's their multiple choice list. And they look at it, and there's a whole lot of things they don't mention. And every once in a while, somebody will mention something, and the rest of them go, no, it's not fucking that. Sorry. Right? That's this. So, having words in your head doesn't matter. What really matters is being able to put them together into a cognitive structure. Typically, when you palm something, you're about to ditch it. Loading is pretty much the combination of stealing and palming. Switching is pretty much the combination of ditching and stealing, and the reason you simulate is to misdirect most of the time. That's what I mean by cognitive structure, understanding how the pieces go together so you can turn them into an action script. These things are not done off the cuff. They have practiced these things hundreds, thousands of times before you see them, before their trial audience sees them. These things are practiced. It is a script. And it has to be for us. I pick up that method section and I look at the participant section and I got to know ahead of time what I'm looking for. What's my script? How do I decide whether this study is based on a sample that I care about? And if you got a script, you get through it before other people. You get the answer first, you get the answer best. Willy-nilly. An information base by itself isn't enough. It has to be applied. And that's the scripting. And that's the purpose for some of our essay questions. Some of those essay questions really are, hey, Cal wants me to memorize this script, this order of things. So the pedagogical structure of the course is you got to know the lingo. Then you got to put it together. Then you have to use it and be ready to apply it. Now there's one more vid that I want to show you because it also highlights the importance of looking for things instead of looking at them. as a perceptionist, believe me, any social psychologist will tell you this too, and most people know it from just getting through life, we are better at looking for things than noticing what happened. You know the thing about the gorilla? Do you know the gorilla? There's a bunch of people in white sweatsuits and black sweatsuits passing balls back and forth, and you say something like, well, watch the people in the white suits, and this person in a large black gorilla costume comes strolling through the middle, and about 40% of the people see it. If you change the instructions so that they're counting the number of balls being passed between the people in the black sweatsuits, it goes up to about 70. Why? Because if I'm watching for the movement of the people in the white outfits, something else coming through in black also gets ignored. But if I'm watching the movements, looking for the movements of people in black suits, then something else black moving through is more likely to be noticed. Here's the best part. If you tell people, watch for the gorilla, it's 96%. But only 96. You have to wonder about the little darlings who come in and give us data sometimes, don't we? So here is just another quick look at the importance of knowing what you're looking for.
Hi, I'm Richard. This is Sarah. And we're going to perform the amazing color changing card trick with this blue back deck of cards. Now the idea is very simple. I'm just going to spread the cards in front of Sarah and ask her to push any card towards the camera.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to go for this card here.
Okay. Now, Sarah could have selected any card at all from the deck, but she selected the card which is now face down on the table. What I'm going to ask her to do is show us which card she selected.
Right, so the card that I chose was, in fact, the Three of Diamonds.
The Three of Diamonds, okay, excellent choice. That card goes back into the deck. Now I'm just going to spread the cards face up on the table. Do a little click of the fingers. And you'll see that Sarah's card here has now got a blue back. Not particularly surprising. What's slightly more surprising is all of the other cards have got red backs. And that is the amazing changing card.
Huh? How many did you get? A lot of this, implied or exact. Yeah. Now, what if I told you some stuff's going to change? You'd have been looking for it. You think you're watching a card trick. You're not. It's not a card trick, dummy. That's the whole thing. That's how you lie. This is one big misdirect. Look at the cards. In fact, if you listen to it again, and that's why it's linked, so you can watch it and listen to it, you can hear them moving things. But when you're watching a card trick in somebody's, you know, photographed in somebody's lab, you don't pay attention to sounds. This is a card trick. Card tricks are visual. There's no sound information. I love this stuff.
I'm Richard, this is Sarah, and we're going to perform the amazing color-changing card trick with this blue-backed deck of cards. Now, the idea is very simple. I'm just going to spread the cards in front of Sarah and ask her to push any card towards the camera.
Okay, let's see. I'm going to go...
Pretty subtle, huh?
This card here.
Okay. Now, Sarah could have selected any card at all from the deck.
Notice we trust Sarah to dress herself.
What I'm going to ask her to do is show us which card she selected.
Right, so the card that I chose was, in fact, the Three of Diamonds.
The Three of Diamonds, okay, excellent choice. That card goes back into the deck. Now I'm just going to spread the cards face up on the table. Do a little click of the fingers, and you'll see that Sarah's card here has now got a blue back. Not particularly surprising, what's slightly more surprising is all of the other cards have got red backs. And that is the amazing color changing card.
I do love this stuff. And this is, again, this is part of that, what I want for you is I want you to be the one in the room that's a pain in the ass. I want you to be the one in the room that people worry about. You're going to notice if something is awry or wrong or not complete. So, years ago, I had to generate an instructional philosophy. I'm not really an instructional philosophy guy. I'm more of an instructional process guy, but I had to make something up. I have a weakness for acronyms. This is my acronym. SISI. Sell, inspire, structure, support, and insist. You're going to hear me sell this all the time. I'm constantly going to be talking about how I am going to transform you for the better. This skill set, this ability set, this set of attitudes that you're picking up in here is going to make your life better. Inspire. I'm going to tell you stories about people who believed me and profited from it. I remember I had those advertising classes. Structure. The curriculum design is set up in a structure. At one point, I was going to be an educational design guy. I was going to go work for a textbook company and design instructional curriculum. Fortunately, having that training, I get to use it here. The support stuff, all the web-based exercises, that's my idea of support. I've told you before, what I'd love to do is put my forehead on yours and give you the last 40 years. I can't do that. What I can do is nag incessantly with feedback. They're called pink things. And then insist. I really, really want you to learn this. You cannot get a passing grade in the class without doing every homework to a 9 out of 10. If you don't get it the first time, we'll talk about why not, and you'll bang it and get it. Don't turn in things that are incomplete. We'll talk about that system when we get to it. But that's the insist. Okay? Everybody in the room gets exposed to everything. Everybody in the room is successful with the core stuff that's in the homeworks, and then we go home. All right, we'll start on Friday with questions and any new things that they've told us about the rules for meetings, because they keep changing stuff because the world keeps changing. I'm not blaming them.